jump in the hat. Today's message is when you don't like you. When you don't like you. You can always not like somebody else, right? But when you don't like yourself, you might be in trouble. You might be in a little bit of peril when you don't like yourself. The message of today is going to come from the book of John. I was like, got it in front of me. I was like, I forgot it. The book of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. So it'll be John 14, 1 through 6. I'm going to scripture when we get there. I ask that y'all say a quick prayer for me, that God allows me to get through the message. And it's Him, not me, that's delivering the message and the words. Amen. And a little touch on my back, too. So, but let me ask you. We're going to warn you a little bit. We're going to raise a problem with us today. Maybe not offer so much of a solution to so many of life's problems. Are way too complicated to solve in 30 minutes. Wouldn't you say? The problems in your lives, I would say, are more complicated to solve than in 30 minutes. And at the end of the message, you might feel a little frustrated. A little like, blah, 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 blah. And if you do, I've succeeded in my goal. Because I've got you thinking about something. Thinking about you don't like you sometimes. But at risk of offending you, I ask you this. A question that you wouldn't expect from me as a pastor. Do you ever feel like Christianity isn't working? Do you ever feel like Christianity isn't working? We see stuff all over the world, don't we? It's like, wow. Wow. They need Jesus. They need Jesus. We see things happening in Afghanistan right now. They need Jesus. They need Jesus bad. We see them falling off of planes and dying. We see people dying from COVID right now. They need Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus, don't they? But when people look at it, they're like, oh, well, that wouldn't have stopped. Christianity wouldn't have stopped that. Sometimes we're made to look at the hard parts of it, isn't it? We get burned out with the busyness of church. Discouraged that our prayers don't work. To do what's right. When we do what's right, everything goes wrong. When we do what we feel is right and what's right, everything goes wrong. We feel that Christianity is not working at that point, don't we? Boy, we grew up in church. Vacation Bible school. Youth. His first kiss? Back of the church bus. Matt, that may be on you. Back of the church bus. But what he sees at home is inconsistent with the message that he hears at church. Parents who are leaders of the church fight at home. The kid prays for a miracle. They end up getting divorced. Y'all hear that? Boy grew up in church, vacation Bible school, youth, first kiss back of the bus. But he sees the life at home is being lived different than the messages he hears preached at church, where his parents are leaders in the church. They fight at home. He prays for a miracle. And they end up getting divorced. God, why didn't you answer prayer? Did you even care? Did you even care? Does Christianity work? A lot of people question that, don't they? When they go through hard times. And they don't truly understand what's going on. But you got a couple that love Jesus. They do everything right. They love God. They serve. He loses a job. They lose a child. They lose their marriage. Where is God in the middle of that? Where is God? And we also have the not so dramatic part of it. You got church, you got youth group, you got a Bible reading, you got K-Love, spreading the word, you got a decent job, place to live, but you're just not happy. You're just not fulfilled. How many of y'all have been in that situation? Again, is Christianity work? There's got to be a better way, don't they? There's got to be a better way than suffering through that and the anxiety that it causes when we feel like that and live like that each and every day, that we're not just not fulfilled. We're just not happy. And that's where we're going to go to John 14, chapter 1, or verse 1 through 6. I have the NIV version. And it says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, why would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to take over right now. Lord, get Ronnie out of the way this morning, Lord. Lord, may we open our heart, mind, and soul to the message that you have, Lord. As always, may it be your word spoken and not mine, Lord. Lord, may we get a better understanding, Lord, of where we are today, Lord. Lord, we need to check up on ourselves every once in a while to see if we truly do still like the person that we are, Lord. Lord, we ask you just to be with us through the rest of the service. In your name I pray. And everybody say it.
Amen.
Ooh, that's some good scripture right there, ain't it? "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody." Oh, we just sang it, didn't we? We just sang a song called "Nobody." Nobody comes to the Father except through me. The way matters. The way through matters. Don't saying the right thing in the wrong way can mess up a marriage. You want to say something nice to your spouse, but you say it in a way that makes it come off as rude. How many of y'all have done that? It's not fun, is it? That question of, "What are you wearing?" And they hear, "What are you wearing? That!" And that's not what you meant. You meant it as just a question. And they take it as a criticism. Like, "Rah, you don't like my clothes, you don't like what I got on." It's all in the way that you say stuff. It's all in the way that matters. Amen. The Christian's way is truth. It's pretty interesting, isn't it? The way, the truth, and the life. Generally focusing on the truth. But we gotta talk about the truth of Jesus. We rarely talk about the way of Jesus. A lot of times we'll talk about his truth, but not the way to get to him. A lot of your contemporary churches are talking about him, but not about him. About who he is, but not what he can do for us. Amen? What was the first Christians called? Anybody know? Non-Christians, religious, Bible thumpers, Jesus freaks. These spirit-filled, Jesus-loving, demon-crushing, sacrificing, world changers were called people of the way. That's what the first Christians were called, people of the way. Their goal wasn't just the right theology, wasn't just strong morality. Their goal was to live and to love the way that Jesus lived and loved while he was here. Think about the way that Jesus lived compared to how the most live now. I'd say 99.9% of us, Christian or non-Christian, are off of track of the way Jesus lived. Would you not agree? Amen. Jesus is full of joy. Most of us are full of stress. Amen. Jesus didn't worry. Some say we are in the most anxious generation in history right now. But we shouldn't worry, should we? If we know Jesus, we should let all that take care of itself. Jesus stopped for people. He stopped when he was going down the road. Somebody hollered, "Hey, I need something." What do we do? "Ain't nobody got time for that. I ain't stopping. There ain't no way." We just do the complete opposite of what Jesus did, don't we? Jesus was consumed with ongoing fellowship with his Father. And I'm going to tell you, when we're out someplace, or sometimes at home, I can't pray for 3 minutes without just being distracted by the phone or the meal. And Jesus was in constant fellowship, constant prayer with God, his Father. We need to get to that place. When we get to that place, we will like ourselves again. When Jesus went somewhere, what did he do? What kind of shoes did he have on? He didn't have your latest Jordans, did he? He had sandals on. We today want to be in a good pair of Birkenstock dress shoes. I think they make sandals too. But a good pair of tennis shoes. We don't really want to slum it, I guess you could say. But whenever Jesus went somewhere, he walked. He took his time. Always pushing it. Always overwhelmed. Always rushed. Rushing to become somebody that I didn't even like. Have you ever been to that point where you feel like you're not all that you can be? You're not all that you should be? Have you ever come to that point that you don't like you? That's when you need to truly look for Jesus even harder. Ask him to make a way for you to understand what's holding you back from being you, but the best you that he wants us from us, not the best you that we want. Amen? The way I've been doing the work of God was destroying the way of God in me. The way you were doing life was scheduled. You were paced. It's destroying us. Too much time that we have spent doing something else. We had insecurities, unresolved hurts, deepest fears, distracting work. But this is how we do it, eh? That's how we live life now in the 21st century. We live, it's going crazy. It's always something to do, always somewhere to go. Something's happening here, something's happening there. Everything to keep our mind off of what truly matters, which is Jesus. Everything to keep our mind off of being the best us that God wants. A lot of being distracted enough to keep our mind off of being Christ-like and living Christ-like. Like he wants us to. But this is the way that the world works. This is the way to success, isn't it? This is the way to win. It's the way to get ahead. It's the way to be happy. Well, guess what? That's what the world tells us. But that's not what God tells us. God said, we're not going to be happy until we have a personal relationship with our Savior, Jesus Christ. No matter how much stuff we have, we will never be happy and never like ourselves until we have a personal relationship with Jesus. We'll just keep pushing it. We'll just keep driving harder to achieve something, to conquer something, to get things, to flex on them, show them off, show what you got. How many of y'all know people like that? That's the way we do it, right? Hey, looky, I got this the other day. I got that the other day. I got this little toy. We know all kinds of people that are showing off, especially on Facebook. You find out real fast who likes to tell about themselves, what they got. But Proverbs 14:12 tells us, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. Amen? And that would be it. Is the pushing harder to get outside more of the world's success than Christian success. More of Satan's world than Jesus' world. Amen? Matthew 11:28-30 says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, but my burden is light. That's where we have to go to find rest. That's where we have to go to find peace within ourselves. That's where we have to go to find the likable us that we might have pushed to the side. It says, take my yoke. It's weird, man. Everybody thinks when they hear yoke, if they hadn't been in church very long, nowadays when they hear yoke, they're like, take my yoke. What, are they having eggs? They fixing egg yolk somewhere? That ain't what it meant, though, is it? Not different type of yoke, is it? A yoke was a wooden cross piece fastened over the neck of two animals and attached to the plow of the car or a cart. It was a work tool, sort of say. Miserable and overwhelmed. Those ox that had to pull that were miserable and overwhelmed. And they were stuck in the end. No single yoke. Y'all notice that? It was fit for two animals, not for one. A yoke always joined two animals that worked together to accomplish more. They worked at the same pace. How many of y'all know we can be working side by side, but if we're not working in stride, we're going all different directions and where we're needing to go and get to that destination. Jesus is inviting us to a better way, to be joined with Him, not just believe in His truth, but to live His way, to live like Jesus lived. Then you ask, oh, but Jesus wasn't a single mom working two jobs. Jesus didn't have student loan debt. Jesus didn't work with my boss. But Jesus has so much more than what we could ever complain about. Jesus has given us so much more. He'd give us Himself by dying on the cross. You got a pretty big assignment. You got to be perfect. We got to die to the sins of the world. We sometimes got to disconnect from the crowd for an extended time with our Father. We got to spend more time with Him. Get closer to Him. We got to have deep conversations with our Lord and Savior. We got to start listening. And love more. Today's not going to give us a quick fix. Amen? Sit in the frustration long enough to hate it. Sit in the frustration of not being happy with you, not being satisfied with you, not liking you, long enough to not want to go back there when Jesus takes it away from you and restores you. And this is how we're going. This is how most of us live. We're rushed, stressed, and overwhelmed. Amen? Rushed, stressed, and overwhelmed is the way most of us would live, Christian or unchristian. But God has given us unhurried rhythms of grace. He gives us time. to lay down in pastures and get away from the stress and the anxiety in our lives. Christians overcome by temptation feel far from God. They're spiritually dry or dull. But God gives us unbroken fellowship with the Father. Let me repeat that. Christians that overcome with temptation feel far from God. They're spiritually dry or dull. But God has given us unbroken fellowship with the Father. We're unfocused, we're preoccupied, we're distracted by stupid stuff. Oh, pastor says stupid again. That's all right. That's what our distractions are. That's what Satan uses to distract us from a true and purely walk with God. Stupid distractions. What we think about, Facebook, what they post. What they post now. What the stupid distractions from living Christ-like. Amen? What they have, what they get. All that stuff that they get, guess what? It don't last. When they go out of the world, that stuff don't go with them. They go to one of two places, either hell or heaven, depending on how they knew the Lord. Amen? But God gives us an uncluttered pursuit of His mission. We got people regretting their past, worried about their future, in the present, physically. Their mind is somewhere else. They're worried about everything. How many of y'all know, once you got Jesus, your past is gone. It ain't there no more. Don't let people beat you down about your past if you know Jesus. Because your past is erased. It is gone. That's what Jesus did on the cross for us. That's what His resurrection did for us. Got rid of our past. So anytime somebody tries to bring it up, say, yep, I don't live there no more. You enjoy spending time there, but I'm not. But He also gives us undivided attention in the moment. Anytime we need to talk to Him, all we got to do is say, hey, and He's there. And guess what? The cool thing is all of us can talk to Him at the same time. And He answers us right, each one of us individually. That's the awesomeness of God. So are you tired of the grind? Are you tired of the stress? Are you tired of being miserable? Tired of being afraid? Tired of being hungry or angry? Tired of being anxious? Too many problems to solve? Too much weight to carry? Too much pain to bear? I know we all feel like that every once in a while, don't we? We all feel like we've got way too much on our shoulders than we should. But guess what? There is a better way. Amen? There is a better way. Not just truth of Jesus, but the way of Jesus. Amen? Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He made me lie down. Woo! Be still and know that I'm God. The way I've been doing work for God was destroying God's work. But there is a better way. Come to Jesus. Even if you've known Him in the past, if you're slacked off, if you're not happy with the way you're living right now, if you're not happy with your life, you're not happy with your relationship with Jesus, He's always here. He's waiting on us to talk to Him. He'll give us rest from the anxiety that you're fighting in your brain. And guess what? The best part is, we don't have to earn it. We don't have to earn a bit of it. It's already there. A free gift from heaven from us. Amen? Just take His yoke. Join Him. Do life with Jesus. Guiding us around. And find rest for our souls. So that we can have more of an impact on the kingdom for Jesus. As Bruce and them come for a final song, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for Your message today, Lord. Lord, as always, I thank You for getting me out of the way today, Lord. Lord, allowing Your words spoken and not mine, Jesus. Lord, I pray that the messages You've given us today, Lord, would be impressed on each one of our hearts, Lord, here and that's watching online, Lord. That we would come to know in a better way of living, Lord, to get us out of the mess that we've put ourselves in our lives, Lord. Lord, we know that the chaos does not come from heaven, Lord. It only comes from Satan and the devil, Lord. Lord, strife doesn't come from heaven either, Lord. We ask you just to be with each one of us, Lord. When we need rest from whatever our problem is, just let us know that we can lay in the bosom. Lord, thank you for each and everything that you do, Lord. I ask you to put somebody in front of each one of us this week, Lord. Lord, that we can tell about your amazing love, your amazing grace, Lord. Lord, and your awesome route to salvation, Jesus. Lord, the only true gospel, the Jesus gospel. Lord, we thank you for each and everything that you do. In your name I pray. Amen.